Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord, and from our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God I would lay on your hearts today comes from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, verses 11 to 19, as follows. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. So far the Holy Word. Dear friends in Christ, fellow redeemed, security. It's good to be secure, isn't it? It's always a pleasant thing when you know your home is secure. In fact, home security is a big business, isn't it? You can buy alarm systems for your home, systems that will hook you up to the local police station. So if a window is pried or a door is messed with, then the alarm goes off and you get a phone call or a visit by a squad car. That's security. It's a secure thing, at least for me personally, to know that my neighbors are fit and able and even armed. I like that. That's, for me personally, that's secure. How about as a nation? You know, it sure is easy to read a lot of things because of the freedom of speech that we have in our nation. We enjoy that. But a lot of people can mislead you, too, when it comes to the security. They can rattle you and make you feel like you're not secure, you shouldn't be secure with the current government we have and things like that. And of course, there's always an element of truth, but then there's always the other side that we have to be careful about. Security. It's good to be secure in your home. It's good to be secure with your nation. But even more than those two things is your spiritual security, what you base your faith on. If you base your faith on the rock, that is Jesus Christ, faith in Him for the forgiveness of sins, then you are secure. And you're secure in your home, in your nation, and for all eternity. That's the most important kind of security, isn't it? It is. That's why our theme for today and the Holy Spirit's intended message in all of our readings is the fact that God's family is secure. God's family is secure because we are born into it by the Spirit. We live with our dear Father, and we are co-heirs with God's own Son, Jesus Christ. That's what these verses before us explain to us. First of all, we are born into this secure family, God's family. How are we born into it? By the Holy Spirit. Now, if you look at this first line, the first verse for our in these verses for our consideration this morning, it says, "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." Don't let any shadows of doubt enter your heart about whether or not the Spirit is dwelling in you. Every believer everywhere, everyone whom God has given the gift of faith to believe in Him, has the Spirit of life dwelling in him. In fact, there's earlier in Romans it says, "Don't you know that you are not your own? You're bought at a price. And it also says that the Holy Spirit has made you His temple. He dwells within you. We know that the Bible's definition for God's kingdom is His ongoing ruling activity in our heart. The kingdom of God is not food and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Spirit. It's an ongoing rule that takes place right inside us, in our hearts. Jesus is there. The Holy Spirit is in you. So instead of that little word, if the Spirit of Him, why not put a word like since? And because it can mean that too. So it's not if, it's since. Since the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Isn't that much more powerful? Since the Spirit dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. You know, I've often said that if you learn anything when I'm up here preaching to you, or when you're, you know, going over the Bible with anyone, it isn't from the people who give you the message. It's not from me. It's from the Holy Spirit Himself, because He works through the Word to discern the message for you. In fact, we're told that those who are hostile against God, those who have who are unbelievers, they aren't able to know God, because the Scriptures are spiritually discerned. That means that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who lives in you, is your teacher. So if you glean anything today from the sermon, it's not because I put it right to you, or I said the right thing, or put it in just a way so you can understand it. It's because the Holy Spirit is working through His Word. He's discerning it for you. And this, actually, this passage here backs this up for us. You see, we are born into God's secure family by the Holy Spirit. Do you remember when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, that Pharisee, and it's in John chapter 3? It's to Nicodemus that Jesus made that probably the most famous of all Bible passage announcements, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Beautiful verse that sums up the entire Bible. The Bible in a nutshell. But before those verses, Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus that he had to be reborn. And that only those people can enter into heaven who have been born of water and of the Spirit. Nicodemus thought he was, you know, he asked Jesus, what, do you have to enter the womb a second time? How can a man be born again? Jesus explains, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not the work of man. It's not the work of anyone who decided to believe on their own. It's the work of the Spirit who enters through that powerful word, gives that gift of saving faith that acts just like an extra hand, puts it on your heart so that when you hear John 3:16, that God so loved the world, your faith believes it. Your faith convinces you you're part of the world. Your faith grasps that promise that eternal life is yours. But it's the Holy Spirit who did it. For lack of a better term, it's the Holy Spirit who borns us into this very secure family of God. Verse 14 backs this up. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You are called one of the sons of God. And that has the connotation of being able to inherit all of the good things that God has in store for you. Now, you don't have to be a boy to inherit this. You don't have to. This title, this fact that you are the sons of God, means that God has reserved all of the best for you, like a firstborn. In fact, we'll get to that a little bit later in our sermon. Right now, we understand that it's the Holy Spirit who borns us again into this family. Sorry for my grammar. We are led by the Spirit, as by the hand of our, like our fathers, who love us and want to nourish us and make sure we grow up right. And just as our fathers led us by the hand when we were young, so the Holy Spirit leads us and discerns for us His Word. We aren't handcuffed anymore by sin and the devil, by the captivity that our own sinful nature earned for us. We are freed from that because the Spirit has taught us through Scripture that the cross of Christ is there to forgive us our sins. That all our sins, the things we've done wrong in our lifetimes, nailed to that cross. When Christ died and was buried, our sins were buried with him. And when he rose from the grave triumphant, he was raised because God declared you and me justified. He declared us not guilty of our sins and raised Jesus from the dead to prove it as the first fruits, guaranteeing for us eternal life to come. This is the secure family that the Holy Spirit has caused you and me and every believer everywhere to be born into. Here in this family, we live with our own Heavenly Father. In verse 15 it says, "You receive the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." This is what you've been given, the Spirit of adoption. It's the Holy Spirit who convinced you that now, yes, despite the fact that you're a sinner, that you've sinned every day since you were born, that you will continue to sin until you die, God has adopted you into his family through the merits of his Son, Jesus Christ. He's adopted you so you can address him as Abba, Father. The word Abba, it's foreign to English. We don't use it. But it's a term of endearment. It's like dear dad. Or if you ever wanted to do it, address your earthly father in a most sincere, beloved way. Only this is your heavenly Father, from whom comes every good and perfect gift in your life. You are now living with your heavenly Father because he lives in you. His word is alive and well. His Holy Spirit is discerning Scripture for you. You're part of God's house. It's a secure, sure thing. Living in God's house, we get to enjoy his good gifts. We're part of his family. We're in his house of protection. We're like always under his wing, so that the psalmist can speak of, "The Lord is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." The psalmist can write, "Just like a strong tower, I hide in the presence, in your presence, O Lord." Or like the sparrows in Psalm 84 who have found a home in the altar of the Lord in his house, we too have found a home in the altar of what Christ has done for us in our Father's house. We enjoy our Father's rule. We enjoy the inheritance that he guarantees for us in Christ. We look forward to it. Sometimes people know ahead of time that they have an inheritance coming, this side of eternity, you know, from your physical parents. I always told my parents, just go ahead and spend it, then us kids won't argue over it. But sometimes you know there's a little nest egg coming, you know, and you can anticipate that and look forward to it. Look at the inheritance your Heavenly Father guarantees that not only is coming, but is yours right now. For he who authored your faith will finish it to the end. The inheritance of eternal life, of always being in a place of where there's no tears and no sorrow, no physical illnesses anymore, no getting up every morning and having to fight your sinful nature, but always having that eternal bliss of being in God's presence forevermore. That's our inheritance. That's what lies ahead, all because of the fact that we are secure living right here in our Father's house. We enjoy his grace. We enjoy his love and kindness which overflow towards us. God's family is secure. Not only have we been born into it by the Spirit, not only do we live with our dear Father, but we have been made co-heirs with God's own Son, Jesus Christ. 17 tells us, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." Where's Jesus right now? Well, he's at the right hand of the Father, right? Using all his power and authority for you and for me and for all of the children of God, making sure that everything works out for our good and in our lives. That's where he's at. He has said that when the last day comes and he comes again on the clouds of glory, that we'll be caught up in the air with him. the quick and the dead, those who are living and those who are dead. The dead will raise unto eternal life. You and I, if it comes today, will be ushered into heaven. And we will enjoy, as a co-heir, a joint heir with Christ, his glory. Not something less than what Jesus enjoys, but a joint heir of the glory of Christ. God, who so loved his Son and gave him up for us all, now has seated his Son, whom he is well pleased in, seated him at the right hand of God, given him the place of all power and authority. And he says, you're a joint heir. As God's own dear children, this is what you stand to inherit. You will enjoy the same glory as my Son. How can that be? How can, when my sinful flesh tells me that I do wrong every day against God, and doubts assail my mind about whether or not I'm even going to heaven, how can it be that I can be up there sharing and be considered even now a joint heir of Christ? It can be, because the Word says so. And that gift of faith that God has placed on your heart just grasps with its strong hand, that firm hand, these promises that this is yours. Talk about a security. What Jesus did for us on the cross, he fulfilled his Father's mission, sent down here to earth to accomplish. Imagine living 33 years, his entire life, never sinning once. He did all that so that God can look at you, see that perfect life of his Son, Jesus Christ, and then judge you, not guilty, because he's the judge. Is there anyone else who can gainsay him? Who can say, nope? Well, not even the devil can say that, can hold up a single sin in your life and say, oh yes, but what about this? He can't. He has to be silent, because Jesus has declared, Jesus has paid the price of all your sins, and God declares you not guilty. In God's sight, you, wrapped in the white robes of Christ's perfect keeping of the law, that white robe of righteousness, gives you the status of an heir, a joint heir of Christ. Do all the glory, do all the honor that God even gives his own Son, Jesus. I can't, with words, describe the glory that awaits us. But the Holy Spirit, who inspired the Apostle Paul to write these words in Romans chapter 8, a very beloved chapter of all Christians of all time, describes it so eloquently as not being able to be compared. And anything you go through in this life, and I know some of you, some tough things you've gone through. I've known other Christians who have really gone through what I would call the ringer, physical infirmities, diseases, financial problems. You go through them. But this tells us that none of these things, bad as they may seem at the moment, are worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. That security. In my heart, there is nothing more secure than being part of God's family. And because the Holy Spirit has worked the same security in your heart, you're reminded today that that supersedes all security. God's family is secure. We are born into it by the Spirit. We're part of God's own family, his own house. We've been made joint heirs with his Son, Jesus Christ. That security is yours and mine now and through eternity. Oh yes, God's law sometimes still frightens us. His righteous judgments in the law can be frightening when we look at them with our sinful natures, but that's good. I'd like to scare my sinful nature with God's law, the Ten Commandments, and keep him in check, because then the gospel shines forth of what God has done for me and you. And the same thing happens in your life. The Holy Spirit, through the gospel, assures us of God's love for us in his Son, Jesus Christ. So we pray, O Lord, by your Spirit, comfort us when we are afraid. Lead us to see you as our dear Father, and to see ourselves as your dear children. Thank you for that security In Jesus' name, amen.